Will you just for a few moments join me as we pray together and prepare for God's word to be shared? Our Father and our God, we're so thankful for your blessings. Lord, we have worshiped you this morning through the musicians, through the praise team, through the choir, through the pulpit participants, through our voices in song, through our offerings that we've given back. We've worshiped you this morning. Now, Lord, I pray that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart will be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you're our strength and you're our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to thank you, the choir. Beautiful. Come on, that was powerful. Amen. Praise the Lord for your ministry, Sister McGlover, and the choir participants. Praise the Lord. That was awesome. I believe at that particular time, God got up out of his seat on the throne. Because you know the Bible says he sitteth there on the throne. You know that, right? I declare that I felt that he stood up. I want to suggest you got God's attention this morning. Praise the Lord. To the praise team, to the musicians. We talked about it last week, to the pulpit participants. How important it is to worship. The Bible says that those that overcame the image and the beast overcame through worship. We talked about that last week. And how critical it is to worship him in spirit and in truth. It says those who overcame, they overcame through worship. Well, today we're going to be in God's word again as we celebrate this Father's Day weekend. God's got a word for you, not just for the fathers, but to the young ladies and to the women in this church. God has got a word for you. I'm going to ask you just for a moment to take your Bibles, and I'm just going to simply read one verse. Thank you, Don, for reading and preparing our hearts for God's word. Out of the book of Mark chapter 5. I want to thank the young children for their gifts. Amen. What a privilege and a blessing to be honored by the children, for they truly know your heart. You'll catch that a little later. In the book of chapter 5, and I want to share and declare that everyone should have a word. I believe that. So you need to be in God's word. I think we're at a point in our lives where we're through with playing church. And if we want to be overcomers, we got to be in God's word. Mark chapter 5, and I want to read here verse 40. And they laughed him to scorn, the reference in Christ. But when he put them out, they laughed him to scorn, the reference in Jesus. But then when he put them out, he taketh the father and the mother of this young lady and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. I want to put a tag on this text, and for just a few moments with your prayers, I would like to preach on the subject, Daddy's Little Girl. I want you to follow me through his word. Your life will be determined as successful or a failure, a burden or a blessing, to a large degree by the hands that handle you during strategic moments in your life. Whether or not you experience life that is fulfilling and rewarding, or life that is painful and shameful, whether or not that you experience relationships that are healthy and wholesome, or relationships that is unhealthy or detrimental, to a large degree depends on what hands handle you during strategic moments in your life. What I'm suggesting this morning is that all of us have been divinely designed with a precious purpose. But specifically, I want to address the responsibility of fatherhood that God has entrusted and generously invested in each and every father that is sitting in this place. To my fathers, all of us have been blessed to be divinely designed with intent, with purpose, and God-given responsibility. But consequently, some of us sitting in here with a smile on our face, but if you're honest with yourself, you're feeling like your life has been broken in a thousand different pieces. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Your relationships is not where you would like it to be. I mean, your money is funny and your change is strange. You feel that life has smacked you in the face, and you would like to wave a white flag of surrender. I like what you said earlier, and run. And so for just a few moments, I would like to focus out of God's word, listen to me, on a relationship between a daddy and his daughter. Daddy, maybe your father was absent or present. Maybe your father was abusive or affirming. Maybe your father was good, or maybe he was bad. Maybe your father was warm and open. Maybe he was cold and critical. Maybe your father was kind and gentle. Maybe your father was loving and affirming. No matter what your father was like, that father to this day, stay with me, has an impact and an influence in your life. And so it's important that we understand that we as a people will never experience full liberation until we experience healing from the wounds that have hurt us and have prohibited us from becoming all that God would have us to be. And it's up to you, listen to me this morning, to discover what influence is that's in your life and that is working within the context of God's amazing healing power to bring about healing in your life and in mine. So this morning, allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you as we focus our attention on a relationship between a daddy and a daughter. I want you to understand in principle in this text. Let's take a look at this text. In this passage of scripture, we see Jairus. Jairus recognizes that there's a special bond between daddies and daughters. Jairus recognizes the impact, the influence of a father's relationship with his daughter, because the Bible says, listen to me, that Jairus discovers that his heart has been broken because his little girl is playing hide and go seek with death. Death is knocking at his little girl's door. Check this. She is only 12 years of age. Death has come creeping in her room, and Jairus recognized that he needs somebody with healing power. He needs somebody beyond, I'm talking about this father now, who needs somebody beyond himself who can make a way out of nowhere. He needs God. This is a dad. This is a father. He needs God to perform a miracle in the life of his loved one. And so Jairus gets word from the gospel grapevine that Jesus is in town. And you know, when Jesus is in town, I wish I had a witness, he makes a difference. When Jesus is in town, I wish you all would pick this thing up. When Jesus is in town, the Bible says that Jesus has just stepped off the boat and was met by a crowd of people and a cry of help and healing from a father. This was a daddy who was in pain because his daughter was dying, and it seemed like there was nothing as a father that he could do. And so he sees Jesus, and he falls down on his knees, and he says, "Master, my daughter is dying. Jesus, my child needs your help." Is that not what everybody is saying? Who really cares about our children in our communities? Our children are dying. They're dying in Africa. They're dying in America. They're dying right here in Moreno Valley, California. They're dying. Dying because our children are being miseducated and mistreated by the system and society. They are taught to talk any way they want it, and then we call it education. Disrespect authority, and then we have the unmitigated gall to quote an African proverb that says, it takes a whole village to raise one child, but if somebody else dares, disciplines our children, we get upset and get mad at them instead of getting mad at our children. You see, if I would just get back to the old school, if you would just get back to the old school, you see, if I messed up in church or down the street, I would get a beating down the street. And then they would get on the phone and call my mama and daddy at home. And my mama and daddy would not go down the street and go off on them. But daddy would wear my behind out. Our children are dying because we're relying on the system to educate when it is your responsibility. I wish I had a witness. As a parent, to sit down and teach your children, I talked about it last week and the week before, it's our responsibility to sit down and teach our children how to think critically and how to process and make a decision, opposed to allowing them or someone else to brainwash our children and fill their heads with those things that they want them to know. They're dying. And we are co-conspirators in their murders. Our children are dying all over this country, and we are co-conspirators in their genocide. They're dying. Oftentimes, and many of the times, we focus on our boys, the relationship between the daddy and his son. That's good. But somehow, along the way, we've left out our girls who suffer from rape, molestation, low self-esteem, emotional, physical, and psychological abuse. Our girls who find themselves suffering in a society that has given them predefined roles. Our girls. In this text, we see a girl, 12 years old, dying. She has a chance to live. Has it happened to many of our young ladies? Dying before they have a chance to live. Finding themselves children, having children. And so their childhood leaves and they die before they have a chance to listen to me. How many of our young girls are dying before they have a chance to live? Many relationships are hurting because somewhere in their lives they were mishandled by someone that they put their trust in. But I've got some good news this morning. Here's my thesis, Elder Lampkin. Jesus, our great physician, our providential psychotherapist, our cosmic counselor. The old folks used to say he's a heart fixer and a mind regulator. Dr. Jesus is in the business of making house calls, and he will heal you, come on now, where you have been hurting, and deliver you from your pain. So walk with me around this text as God reveals through his son, Jesus Christ, that no matter what you're going through in life, Jesus is the answer that will bring healing, hope, and liberation that will set you free from the shackles of pain that have bound you for so long. I'm talking about those men who cry in the dark. I'm talking about those daddies who have to deal with those issues. So number one, the text says that you can experience healing from the master making a house call. Let me hear you say the master making a house call. Because he makes a house call in spite of a pessimistic diagnosis. In other words, there was nothing too hard for God. Because if it's too much for you, come on now, somebody, it's tailor-made for God. He's able. Jairus comes in, and he falls down on his knees, and he gives a pessimistic diagnosis. My daughter is about to die. Listen to me. Why is this woman hurting and on her deathbed? Check out the relationship with the father. Some of you all have or had a father who's like Sleeping Beauty's father. He was present, but he messed up. Oh, yes, you recall Sleeping Beauty, don't you? Slept for 100 years. So for 100 years, she slept. Daddy was present, but he was neglectful. Others of you have daddies like Cinderella's daddy. Cinderella's daddy married another woman besides Cinderella's mother. And the story goes that Cinderella, stepmother, and stepsisters dissed her and dogged her out. And the tragedy is, Daddy was present. But Daddy was unaware and uninvolved in Cinderella's life. I'm going somewhere this morning. So Cinderella spent much of her life in pain because of a daddy who was present, even though he was absent. Watch this. Because you have a whole lot of fathers who may be present in body, but absent in terms of involvement, in terms of their spiritual investment in the lives of the, you don't have to say amen, you can just look at amen. Absent even though they are present. So what happens is, because of a lack of relationship with daddy, some of these women feel they have to get rescued by a prince. And some women, because of a delinquent daddy or a malicious mother, latches on to any prince that comes their way. And if you're not careful, you may see a fraud and decide somehow, some way, you're going to make a prince out of a fraud. And so if you just kiss the frog enough, somehow you will turn that frog into a prince. And you don't have to worry about what daddy or mama didn't do in your life. So tragically and specifically, because of your relationship with daddy, you don't know how to relate well, listen to me, to a good prince that may come your way. Let's say daddy was there, but daddy did not communicate well. But tragically, a lot of us can communicate intellectually and spiritually. I mean, we can quote the Bible verses. We're good Adventists. We can tell you what Adventist Home says. But we can't talk heart to heart. And when you can't talk heart to heart, listen to me now, that leaves a certain void in your children's life, in your daughter specifically, daddy's life, that only the first, listen to me, influential male figure in her life can fulfill. Why? Because daddy is the one that introduces daughters to the opposite sex. First and foremost, by you. And so the image, listen to this. I want you to catch this. So the image she has of you, daddy, is therefore imprinted on her mind and in her heart. And tragically, unconsciously, and subconsciously, she is controlled by the image she has of her daddy. So one of two things happens. Either she runs after men that are just like daddy, or B, she tries to avoid men who are just like daddy. Why? Because she's either trying to avoid daddy or have somebody do what daddy never did. And so some ladies in here never received their proper affirmation that daddy should only give. Why? Because daddy didn't know how to deal with that biology. And so daddy backed off because he couldn't handle what was coming. And so daddy didn't communicate to his daughter what was going on. And so she would come to you, daddy, with her beautiful dress on. And daddy never responded. He never affirmed her femininity. And by not affirming her femininity, either one or two things happen. Either A, she decides she is going to take on a male role. And so certain women think they need to be mean, stuck up, and cold. So they work all of their lives, listen to me, trying to build up some armor of maleness. Because daddy never did affirm your femaleness. Deep, Pastor. Whenever you have not had a healthy relationship with your father, it can cause you to define your expectations, but it also allows you to accept what you should not accept in a relationship. Tragically, your father's relationship with you or the lack thereof will impact every relationship that you have. Are you listening to me, daddies? You don't even know what love is, even if it slaps you in the face. That's why a whole lot of folks will miss a prince and hook up with a frog. And then you convince yourself that you have to accept what you don't have to accept. If you aren't with the mother of your child, make sure that the child always sees you, listen to me, man, respecting that woman. Watch this, because you are showing your child how a relationship between a man and a woman ought to be. And if your child accepts a frog instead of a treatment from a prince, it may well be that your child saw a froggy relationship. So number one, pessimistic diagnosis. We're going to move on. We'll be through in a few moments. Number two, there's purpose in delay. Jairus said, Lord, help me out. I really need your help. And Jesus says, okay, I'm coming your way. I love that. Why? Because Jesus is willing to help. And if some father is hurting today for some past mistake, the good news is God has always sent some Jairus on your behalf. You never know who's praying for you. You never know who's talking to Jesus on your behalf. You never know who's going to God for you. Matter of fact, those of you all in here today, not one of us would be in church if somewhere in somebody's yesterday, some mama or some daddy didn't go to Jesus on your behalf. So number one, a pessimistic diagnosis. Number two, a purpose in delay. Number three, the process of deliverance. And so Jesus goes to Jairus' house. And when Jesus got to Jairus' house, there were some people there. And you know what I've discovered? There is always a crowd that hangs around. They enjoy being miserable with you. And so Jesus says, get out of here. Watch it. There are some things, there are some people in your life that before Jesus can do healing, Jesus says they've got to get out. There are some hindrances in your life, and the master is saying, I need you to put them out because I can't do my thing. I wish I had a witness. As long as you got that negative, unhealthy influence, get out. But Jesus, you don't understand. If I let her go, I'll be all by myself. And to quote one song, I just don't want to be lonely. I will be all by myself, and I need somebody to comfort me in my misery. I know he isn't no good. I know he isn't good for me. But at least he's somebody. I know she isn't any good for me. But at least she's somebody. Jesus, don't put them out. Matter of fact, if they're not going to heal you, tell them to get out. If they can't access Jesus, tell them to get out. If they can't bring some healing, some help in your life, tell them to get out. Because a healthy relationship is marked by what the Bible says, that God loves us so much that Jesus Christ, being rich for our sakes, became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. When somebody loves you, what's love got to do with it? Here it is. Love sacrifices for you. Watch this. Listen to me. Love sacrifices for you without keeping score. I want you to catch that a little bit. Catch that. That's real love. Love never keeps score. I did this for you. You got to do this for me. Now watch this. Love always increases your value. If you are in a relationship and your value keeps going down, listen to me, young people. That isn't love. I don't care what he's telling you. I don't care what she says. If your value is not increasing, that's not love. Someone who loves you wants you to do well. Someone that loves you wants you to progress. They're not going to keep you back and hold you hostage. When love is in the picture, love increases your value. Let me reach back to the spinners. The spinners used to sing one of a kind love affair. Makes a lame man walk and make a blind man talk about seeing again. That's for some of us who've been around for a little while. I'm sorry, young people. I got to catch up. When you really have somebody that loves you, love increases your value. Your stock goes up, not down. Let me tell you about pure, unadulterated love. Check this out. God never forces himself on us. Love is always a choice. He chose us, listen to me, and he is willing to risk not being chosen. I don't want to say that too fast. He chose us, and he is willing to not be chosen by us in order to allow us to experience the divine nature of his love in his fullness. I'm talking about love, unselfish love, love that doesn't seek its own, but love that increases your value. And so Jesus says, put them out. They're not increasing your value, because I can't move like I want to move in your life as long as they are in the way. Put them out. Let them go. Let them move out of your life. got to be willing to follow me and trust me. Put them out. You know, as long as they are still active in your life, physically, emotionally, psychologically, they will keep you back. It's time, Imani, to take control of your life through the power of Jesus Christ and move forward knowing that God is leading you and guiding you every step of the way. God says, put them out. And the Bible says Jesus spoke, little girl, arise. I love that. That's all he got to do. In a dead situation, in your situation, all he's got to do is speak. He says, little girl, arise. You see, when he speaks, the billows cease to roll. When he speaks, the lame man walk. When he speaks, the blind can see again. When he speaks, the dead rise again. When he speaks, angry lions become tamed kittens. When he speaks, the universe obeys. When he speaks, the Red Sea opens up and people are able to walk on dry ground. When he speaks, the waves and the seas hush up. When he speaks, he invites us to know him intimately, to see him ultimately as approachable, reachable, touchable, and accessible. When he speaks, it is your duty to respond to the voice of God. When he speaks, it is finished. When he speaks, he makes a difference in your life. I've heard the thunder roll. I've seen the lightning flash. I've felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But when I heard the voice of Jesus saying, he said, Father, it doesn't matter what you've done in your life, Daddy, fight on. I promise never. Hallelujah, somebody. Never. I said never, ever, never to leave you alone. God bless you, fathers. God is with you every step of the way.